I tell you, it's a glorious day when you can come into the church and know that God is for you and He's not against you. Amen? And all these songs and everything that God has for you today, it's all been prepared by Him. And all we got to do is listen and obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And I want to, if you open up your bulletins, Pastor wanted me to emphasize on this. I pulled this off from Rhema because I want to minister to see this morning about the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And no one better that can give us some examples and experience of the Holy Spirit and the anointing and what He can do in your life than Dr. Kenneth Hagin. He's gone on with the Lord now in 2003, 2004, but he left behind a legacy of ministry and teaching that we can draw from. Experiences that he had in his life of experiences with the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to reread this in your bulletin. And I like it. It says, a better preacher because of the anointing. That's the difference right there. You know, Terry went ahead and went on through what he was dealing with this morning. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. And you know what? What he couldn't do, God finished. So he stepped out by faith, and the anointing is there for him to minister and worship to you as he worships God. Amen? And he's better because of the anointing, just like a better preacher because of the anointing, the power of God. In this segment, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin recalls how receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit impacted his preaching ability and the condition of his church congregation. Ain't that so important? What I receive, what I can believe, is going to benefit you. Amen? And that's what he was saying here. He says, after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, I didn't announce it to my church. See, he'd already been ministering and preaching. He was born again. He just hadn't been baptized yet. And he was having an experience with God and fellowshipping with the Lord. He said, I followed that anointing in me that teaches you all things. Something on the inside of me said, and that would be the Holy Ghost, don't say anything about this in church. So I never mentioned it. He was obedient, wasn't he? So often something, we have this experience, we're so excited, we just want to share it, but we need to go to the inside. We need to pray and listen and see what God wants us to say and do. So I never mentioned it. I just went right on with our services in that little country church. It wasn't 30 days until people started saying, what happened to you? What do you mean, what happened to me? Well, you're different, they said. What do you mean I'm different? Is it good or is it bad? Well, they said it's good. That's good. That's all right. We'll take good, right? Anything God does and the Holy Spirit does, it's going to be good. And it's going to be powerful. Well, I said, what is it? What do you mean? Oh, you've got power you didn't have before. Somebody noticed the difference. When you preach, you have power you didn't have before. See, Kenneth said, I had been anointed to preach before, but now the anointing to preach was increased after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The people said, when you preach now, it almost knocks us off our seat. Get ready this morning. Ain't going to be me now. I'm believing and trusting God. I ain't saying He's going to knock you off your seat, but there's going to be something deposited on the inside of you. When we come in here in fellowship and are trusting God, we're not going to leave the same way we came in. We're going to hear something. We're going to know something. We're going to go out and we're going to do something for God. That's what we're believing for. They didn't mean I was a hard preacher. It was just the power behind the preaching. Ours was a community church, the only church in the community, and 85% of the people were Baptists. Nothing against Baptists. This is just where Kenneth was at, where he was raised up, and where he came from. And this is back in the, what, John, 1940s? 1930s. He's going back a while. You know, you get your hand raised up in the church, you might you might feel somebody looking behind you. What's he going to say? But 85% of the people were Baptists. One member of the congregation was a Presbyterian. We never lost a member. We never lost a family. They saw the value of the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't tell them a thing. He let God reveal it to them. They knew something was different. And then he had the opportunity to tell them. 93% of them followed me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the other 7% still attended the church. That's some good numbers out there. See, when God does something and you're obedient to it, He'll fill the church. Such as should be saved, He'll let Him do it. Amen. Y'all okay with this? Or we need to kill this microphone. You okay? We'll figure it out eventually. I don't think it has to do with me being up here on the platform. Terry, Dallas, bring in that little one of the podiums outside, and I'll come down off the stage. That might help. Well, I might have to stand still. But the anointing. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke 4, verses 18. Jesus was a powerful preacher, was He not? Do you know that Jesus was anointed by God? Come on now.
Amen.
Luke, let me get there. Chapter 4, verses 18. It says, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord," that's the anointing right there. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's what we're called to do. You are accepted by the Lord. Jesus was preaching it, but it was different than what other preachers had been preaching. He meant what He said. Amen? He meant that this is your year to be accepted of Me. Give an ear. Listen to me. Listen to what He's saying. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him because when the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, He comes on the inside of you for a purpose. So His first purpose is to show you how much He loves you and to change you from the inside out. And after that happens, then you can help change others. I can't give somebody something I don't have. And I don't want to give them something that's bad. I want to give them something that's good. Because, see, I'm not like Jesus. I've got this sinful mind that has to be renewed. Jesus, there was no sin in Him, but He still was anointed. And if Jesus needed to be anointed, and He is and was the Son of God, how much more the church do we need His anointing in our lives? Amen? And He told us that. The anointing of God is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. The Spirit of the Lord anoints us. Now, that word anoint, take your eyes off of me for a minute. I mean, keep looking up here. But when I say this, get a picture of it. Go back to the Old Testament. Think about the Old Testament when the priest would anoint the king, when Samuel anointed David. It says, anoint means to pour oil on. Get a picture of that now. We're talking about warm oil. I'm not talking about anything cold. It's going to make you shiver. We're talking about something that's going to make you relax. To pour oil on. That's what the priest would do to the king. And it would come down from his head, and it would come down to his beard. Anoint means to pour oil on. And oil in the Bible is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God poured the Holy Spirit on Jesus after John's baptism in the Jordan. God from heaven. We're singing this morning about Joel prophesying that God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Jesus started His ministry in the fullness of time, and He was anointed. God poured His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon His Son. He was anointed as a priest by God. So you've got to remember, Jesus, when He came into this earth, He said He emptied Himself. Get a picture of this. The Son of God, God in the flesh, emptied Himself of all divinity to become a man, a sinless man, but emptied Himself. All right, take a cup. If it's empty, think of Jesus being empty of all the power of God. But That ain't it. Then God poured His Spirit, He filled Him up with the power to minister, to preach on that day. God poured the Holy Spirit on Jesus after John's baptism. He was anointed for a purpose. Anytime God does or says anything, it has a purpose. Whatever He said, what He had said in the beginning, let it be, it's still being. Amen. Light is still being. There's things, there's planets, there's universes out there we hadn't even seen yet, but God sees them. He saw them before He spoke them. Try to wrap our minds around that. How important is what we say? How important do we need to think before we speak? He was anointed. Jesus was anointed for a purpose. Go to 1 John 3:8. We know this. 1 John 3:8. We just need to know where it's at here. This will help a lot of people. If we tell this to a lot of people, we have to correct people that are Christians. We have to correct people when God tells us to correct Christians, but also we got to tell the world, the lost, there is a God, and He has a purpose. Jesus came and fulfilled His purpose. 1 John 3, verse 8. Let's go to verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. This is why Jesus was brought and anointed there, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's a good time to say amen and thank you, Jesus. That He might destroy. Well, Jesus doesn't have a problem with the devil, but we do have a problem receiving what He did. Might destroy. See, I was bound by afflictions. I was bound by all kind of stuff before I came to Christ. But I had to come to Christ. That's the key. And when I did, those works, Jesus took them and destroyed them. He cut the chains that bound me and set me free when I came to Him. That's what the anointing does. It destroys the yoke of bondage. It has a purpose. All those that come to Jesus will be filled and set free. That's His purpose, to destroy. And it hasn't changed. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So His purpose is to destroy the works of the devil, period. Any work that's not good, that's not of God, that's of the devil. He came to destroy it. So it's been destroyed. He that committeth sin, and I've read that, is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. From the beginning of what? Let's not go too far, but when the devil decided, I'm not going to do what God says, God had a purpose that He created Lucifer for. Lucifer decided to go against what God had created, and therefore, in that time, he sinned, and he was downcast. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Let's go back to Luke. I should have told you, keep your finger in there. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take it. Let's go back to Luke. Go back to chapter 4 in Luke. This time we're going to pick up in verse 17. But we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank You right now for this word that's coming forth, Lord. I thank You, Father, for the anointing, for the power of the Holy Spirit, that our ears, not our natural ears, but our spiritual ears, will hear what You want us to hear today, Father. And we thank You, Lord, for Your power that's being revealed through the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that You are going to magnify and You're going to glorify Jesus today, Holy Spirit. And we welcome You. We welcome Your gifts and Your power in our presence today to help us see things. And any traditions or things that are not true, Father, we want them just to fall by the wayside. We want You to destroy those works and traditions of men today. And we want to receive the truth. And Holy Spirit, we thank You. You are the revealer of Jesus, the truth. And we're expecting to receive that today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Luke 4, 17 through 20. Talking about the anointing. The purpose Jesus came was to destroy the devil. Well, you say, well, why couldn't He destroy him before He was baptized by, anointed by God? That's the way God set it up in the fullness of time. So in Luke 4, verses 17 through 20, and this is when Jesus, Let's go up one verse, verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We've read this morning. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. That day when Jesus said something, remember what Kenneth Hagin said? He said, "When I got baptized, had the anointing to preach," he said, "I didn't tell nobody, but when I went back to the church, I preached." And he said, 30 days later, he said, "Something's happened to you." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you got power now." Well, this is what Jesus did. Jesus was just baptized earlier in the Jordan. Now he went to the book of Isaiah and started to read. But then when he sat down, it was something different when he read it that morning. Something different. He was anointed by God. There was a difference there. Amen? When we're anointed, when the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but you'll be different. Amen? Their eyes were fixed on him. They were expecting something else. He wasn't done yet. They were drawn to that. The Holy Spirit draws us to him. Amen? I like it. Jesus opened the book. That's the Word of God. He is the Word. He opened himself. That day, Jesus opened himself. He was an open book to the world. He still is. He opened himself up that day, read, but that day he found himself. He found his purpose. The day has begun. And he read it. He read the Word. Remember we talked about when we first got started, before the Jordan? Jesus said, "I came into the Word." He emptied himself and became a man. He was empty. He read the Word, and he was filled up with the Word. God poured his Spirit when Jesus was baptized. He was filled with the Spirit, the anointing, the power. He opened the book, read the Word, and he was filled up with that Word. He was drinking it in. That cup, reading the Word, the anointing was coming up on the inside of him. Then he shut the book. That ain't the end of the story, amen? We're here today because of what happened that day, because of that power, because of that anointing. It took him to the cross. But before the cross, it took him to the wilderness. Amen? The devil didn't take Jesus to the wilderness. It says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Because why? It's time to destroy your works, devil. That was Jesus' purpose. That's why he was anointed. To go take it to the kingdom of darkness. All three temptations. 30 days he was tempted and he hungered. But there was something on the inside of him that he didn't need food and he didn't need water because he was anointed by God. Moses went up on the mountain, the anointing was upon him. Jesus went to the devil, the anointing was upon him on the inside of him too. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did. Praise the Lord. He shut the book. He left the church full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what we need to expect, not just here when we leave the church, before we get to church. God wants to keep you filled up and overflowing. But it's going to take us, I'm not saying we have to have the book in our hands all day, but we've got to meditate upon it. When the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches is try to feel the Word or get us down, that's when we got to start meditating. We got to pray in the Holy Ghost with our other prayer language unto God. Sing Him a new song in the Spirit and fill ourselves up with the Holy Spirit, and then we are anointed for service. Amen? That's when we can truly give somebody what God needs them to get. Set free. Set the captives free. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord every day. Amen? We're talking about the anointing of God upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God, the anointing. He has a purpose. The Holy Spirit has a purpose. It's to equip us with God's ability. Jesus was the Son of God, but He emptied Himself so God could fill Him. All the way He said in the Word that He would do it, Jesus laid it as an example so we can be the same thing, so we can be filled that way. Amen? And destroy the works of the devil. Still getting a little ahead of myself. Jesus left the church. He left the synagogue. He was filled up, and He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you to drink soda and just sit around in the easy chair and turn on the TV, right? That's not His purpose. Now, you can be sitting drinking that soda, nothing wrong with that, eating some popcorn, watching TV, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and speak to you. So I'm talking about from the inside out. He'll give you an unction because there's somebody that's hurting. There's somebody that's getting ready to pull a trigger on a gun. He'll maybe need you to intercede and pray. Now, that's His purpose. It's Holy Spirit, right? He's going to move upon us and give us an impression to do something for God because if somebody's dying or somebody's hurting, somebody needs our prayer. Somebody needs us to pick up the phone and tell them God loves you. He died for you. I'm here for you. Amen? We're here for Him. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's service, which was to destroy the kingdom of darkness. And that's what He did every day of His life here on the earth. You might say, well, sometimes He stood before Pilate and didn't say a word. He was defeating the power of darkness. He only said what? What the Father said. He only heard what the Father heard Him say, and Jesus spoke it. Because He said, I didn't come upon my own authority, but Him who sent me. Amen? And when we do what God tells us to do, specifically His way, we are anointed. It is anointed, and it will change some things. Amen? I've done things that wasn't anointed. Guess what? I'm sitting back, oh, Lord, what did I do? Because nothing's happening. Doesn't mean God don't want something to happen, but He can't lie. If I get things messed up, He's not going to mess them up, but He'll fix them. Amen? So that's where it's important that we're not called to everybody. We're called to a specific place in our lives, and that place can change. Your job might change, but that doesn't mean the purpose has changed. Just each season, just bloom where you planted. Come here, just receive the Word. Let the Word teach you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let us take what God has given us, and we're here to teach it and show it to you. Amen? And then you're to go out, the church is to go out and make disciples. Tell your story. Amen? Tell your story, and it draws people in. They want to know that God that you serve. Come to church. Witness right there. I better go on. Getting ahead of myself. Jesus went to destroy, and His purpose was to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we have, you have, I have, Miss Jane, Pastor have, we have access to His gifts. That's awesome. Mentioned in Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to go there, but it talks about the fivefold ministry gifts, all those gifts. But that's not it. That's not the end. There's more. I mean, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Not my spirit. This is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Well, brother, you might say, I just don't feel love. Well, Spirit, we don't feel by our emotions. We feel by what God's Word says we are. I love people because God is love, and He's on the inside of me. So that means I have love, and I give love. It's His love. Amen? So that's a part of His gifts. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness. Amen? That's just some extra, that's other benefits. Does God want me anointed? Does God want you anointed? Well, you're saved, is that not enough? No, it's not. Not enough for God. Now, there's people, and I was at a place, I was saved but didn't know enough. Oh, but God. I was hungry. The Word teaches me if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be filled. Amen? God doesn't want you walking around empty, and He don't want you walking around half full. He wants you overflowing. Amen. Amen? So the answer to that question is yes, God wants you anointed. Well, when I got born again, am I not anointed? Well, you're born again. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. But Jesus was anointed by God. It was a gift sent from God. Amen? So I need to be anointed for service. If Jesus needed it, I want everything that He has. Everything that He gave for me on that cross, I want it. And He wants you to have it. He's not fulfilled. His purpose is not fulfilled until His church receives all that He gave. Man, could we just tell Him, Lord, we want all that You have for us to have so that we can give it to others. Does God want you anointed? Yes, He does. And He wants people saved and not stuck in a rut. He wants them saved, filled with His Spirit, anointed with power from on high. Let's read. Let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 20. Howard, we doing okay out there? My squealing kind of stopped a little bit. I'm not sure that feedback's gone. Maybe it got full. Hey, hallelujah. I get talking and lose my place. John the Revelator. John chapter 20. Jesus opened the book, read the book, shut the book, and became the book. Went out and done and destroyed the works of the devil. John 20, verses 19 through 22. And I'll actually start in verse 19. This is when the apostles were commissioned. It says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, this is after Jesus has been resurrected, Jesus came and stood, Pastor, you're standing tall, because Jesus stood. Now I know, here's coming. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace, shalom with you. They were in fear of the Jews. Jesus showed up because I'm bringing you peace. He didn't leave them. He said, I ain't going to leave you. He showed up. They were in fear. What happened when they were in the boat in the storm? Jesus came walking on the water. He walked through the walls after He laid that earthly body down and picked up His glorified body. Now He can walk through walls, John. He walked through hospital rooms, touched mothers, can't He? Come right through the doors. Hallelujah. He's got access, don't He? Total access He has. Peace be with you. And when He had said this, guess what? Peace came. Jesus says peace. Peace is coming. He showed them His hands and His side. Confirmation. I am He. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Some people are sad when they talk about God. They don't know Him. They need to know that He is here for them. When fear comes, He's there to save them from fear. He's not there to bring fear. He does not have a spirit of fear. Amen? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's the Spirit of God. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, what did He do? He breathed on them. Okay? This is before Pentecost. They were followers of Jesus. They believed on Jesus, because if they hadn't, they wouldn't have been with Him. They stuck with Him. They believed on Him. When He said this, He breathed on them, and what happened to them? And He said, receive the Holy Spirit. The breath of God. Pneuma. The breath of God. Life-changing breath of God. Same thing He did when He spoke to Adam and breathed in him the breath of life. Jesus breathed on the disciples. And He said, you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That day, that's when the disciples were born again. The Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit. He came in and recreated their dead spirit. Now they are alive unto God. sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Does God want you anointed? Yes, He does. This is when the disciples got born again. They received salvation. They received... There's more than being born again. Amen? Let's jump over to the books of Acts. That was John talking about when Jesus came down and breathed on them. But there's more. Acts chapter 1. Now this is after Jesus had breathed on them. Acts 1 and 8. Well, let's skip on up. I'm going to go take you all the way to verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of who? Of the Father. Which He said, "You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, I thought they done had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive." Yes, they did. Got born again. I was at that state. Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, "If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved." I did that at home sitting on my couch. Didn't know there was any more, but I knew I was saved. I knew on the inside that I believed that and God had saved me. But I'll stop right there and tell you, and I did go out and saw some friends that had, I won't go there yet because it didn't happen that way yet. Verse 6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to him, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power.'" See, there's a difference between God's anointed power and just having power in myself. "Lord, You're going to restore the kingdom. We're going to sit up here and rule and reign." No. We're going to serve each other in love. That's what the anointing does for service. It doesn't rule and reign on men. They're trying to set up a kingdom. The kingdom of God is upside down to the world system. We don't operate like the world. We love each other. Amen? And we're not out to get nothing from you. We're out to get something to you. That's the way God operates. He's not out to take nothing from you. We're always here to give something to you. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The Holy Spirit is in you, and He can fill you. And then guess what? He's upon you. Overflowing. We're talking overflow. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." For what purpose? "And you shall be witnesses." To who? To Me. To Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to magnify and to glorify Jesus, to show the world Jesus. Remember what they said? When the disciples went out, it says, "These men are unlearned, but they knew that they had been with Jesus." They were doing things that Jesus did. You don't have to be smart to be anointed. Amen? Amen. I can get two amens on myself on that. Amen, amen. You don't have to be smart to be anointed by Jesus. Hallelujah. That don't mean if you are smart, you can't be anointed. Praise God. He's no respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of faith. I like that. You say, "Well, why would God do something for this person, not for me?" Well, He respects faith. He needs faith. He needs something to work with, right? You got to give Him something to work with. Well, what do I have? Just give Him your faith. Trust. Trusting. Well, you say, "Well, I don't have no ability." Well, just be available. He'll make you able. Won't He, Terry? Be available. He'll make you able. "You'll be witnessing to Me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's where we are. Wherever the end of the earth is, might be in Jamaica, might be in North America, South America, end of the world. Where is the end of the world? Wherever you at, that's the end of that world. Here, here, there. To the uttermost, to the end of the earth. Mm-mm-mm. There's more. He has anointed us and given us power, His power, to be a witness. Not just to witness about Jesus. No, you will be a witness. There's a difference between just giving a testimony about what God has done for you, and then be anointed by God in a specific time and being a witness, being bold. Peter stood up. We sang that song this morning. This is that. They said they were drunk, as they supposed. They drunk. Listen, them Jews up there, they all drunk. Peter stood up. He was full of the Holy Ghost, anointed by God to say, no, this is that. This is what Joel said. We ain't drunk as you suppose. We just filled with the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm-mm. With power. And they were magnifying and praising God. That was the purpose. And it was going to show everybody that this is the purpose God has anointed me for, to preach the gospel. Peter was preaching. He was preaching to the poor. Who's the poor? Those that don't have Jesus are poor. That's who the poor are. I always thought a lot, and it's financially too. But anybody that don't know Jesus or have Jesus, they're poor. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. All those that need to hear that you don't have to be poor no more, because Jesus has opened up the door. What door? The door to your store. Whatever it may be in your life. Amen? Power to be a witness, as in Acts 1:8. You're born again. Now you got power. After, they had to do something. They had to wait. They had to wait for the promise of the Father. He gave it to Jesus. He poured it upon Jesus. And now, so that makes Jesus who? That makes Jesus the baptizer. If God poured it upon him, filled up his cup, John says, there's one coming after me. I'm not worthy to baptize you. But when he comes, he ain't going to baptize you with water. That's John baptism. Me and Pastor, we'll baptize you in water, won't we, Pastor? Because it's an honor. Oh, but there's a greater pouring. There's a greater one than John said. There's a greater one here. And Jesus, he takes, he's filled, he's overflowed, now he fills. He pours, he anoints you with the baptism of fire, power. I like that. Fire and power. It's a good fire. It's a consuming fire. It consumes you and me. And it consumes stuff in your life and burns the chaff up. That's the power of God in your life. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit will do for you. And I'm a witness to it. It happened to me. And it's continually happening. It's not just a one-time feeling. I didn't think I'd get through this two pages, Pastor. And we were dealing with some feedback that finally got full. Terry, did you find something back here? Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't need that feedback. Okay. You're born again. All right? But there's more. I found out there was more. I knew I needed Jesus. I'd heard the gospel. I heard that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And I knew that, but I never committed to that until one day my sins kept finding me out. And I finally, like Paul, I was tired of kicking. And I was just really convicted. And I just gave my heart to God. Wasn't in church, but was at home on my couch and believed it. Trusted Him. But there was more. And He knew the purpose and destiny He had for me, but He knew where He had to get me to. And if you're hungry and if you're obedient to Him, it don't matter where you are. If you're in a place that's not teaching you right, if you've been in a place that's not taught you right, guess what? God will get you to the right place. And He'll put people across your path that will help lead you there. And I've got Pastor Gary, Miss Jean, Pastor Jim, Andrew Womack on the radio, Jim was on the radio, all inspired and anointed by God to preach the gospel, Pastor. He's still anointed to preach the gospel. He's going to stand tall and do it. Amen? But, I had some Pentecostal friends that invited me to Church of God. I'm like, Church of God, what's different? Ain't they all Church of God? I mean, you're talking about a Baptist boy. I didn't know nothing, John. I'm like some of those congregations that Reverend Hagin had. I'm just a Baptist boy. You know, you don't raise your hand, you just... Mama pinch you if you're moving around, if you're making, you know, she'll pinch you in church, but Lord, don't get your hands up there. The pastor will call on you for something. You need to be excused? We love the Baptist, not against Baptists. But when I went And I heard Brother Terrence Rose stand there in the anointing. I didn't know what the anointing was, but something was calling me. I tell you, tears welled up in my eyes. I had my mother-in-law's Bible who had went on to be with the Lord. And I watched her leave this earth not knowing Jesus. Me, I didn't know Jesus. And I seen her die on that bed looking up at me and couldn't say anything. And I didn't have no, if she could have said something, I wouldn't have had no answer for her. But that same woman who had a pull on, who really showed me love and cared for me, things I were doing in my life against her daughter, I didn't feel good about it. And I thought it was just shame and guilt, which probably was a part of it, but it was the Holy Spirit wooing me and calling me to God. And I finally quit resisting and gave in and submitted. And then God took me to a church. And that pastor, Terrence Rose, was preaching the gospel. I can't really tell you what the message was, but I heard what God wanted me to hear. And he was like, I'm like, that preacher's been in my, he's been in my business. He knows me, and I didn't know him from Adam. And he had an altar call, and I knew what an altar call was. He called, and I go to the altar. That's all. I mean, I just knew. I thought I needed to be saved again. I'm like, well, I need to go again. There's more. I need to go get it. And went down there, and he started coming around just like we come down to the altar and just praying for people. But there was something different. There was something different in his preaching, something different in what he was in. Or what was in him. There was something different in him. And it was the Holy Spirit. It was the hope of glory. It was Christ Jesus. And all he did, my wife was beside me. We went down. He was praying for people, and they were kind of falling back. And I hadn't never seen nobody fall back before. But there was people catching them. So I'm like, all right. At least they're not getting hurt. That's a good thing. Don't go and get hurt in church, right? But, oh, he got to me. And I had my eyes closed. I was just trusting God, believing God. I was kind of like, Lord, I'm here. And he just touched me with just the slide of his finger and said, in Jesus' name. And when he said Jesus, that anointing, just like in the Old Testament, it come from my head and right out my feet. And I tell you, it was like it's hard to explain, but it's warm and it's oil and it's peace. Peace be with you. Like Jesus said, peace. I received peace that day underneath the power of the Holy Ghost. My wife said she heard yell. She heard me yell. You know what that was? That wasn't me. That was devils screaming. Because guess who? Jesus was in town. Jesus showed up. That anointing, that power was there to be a witness and to destroy the works of the devil that was in my life. Set me free. And I got up off of that floor. Hardly. I had to lay there for a while. I was free. I was light as a feather. That burden had been destroyed because of the anointing that Terrence Rose was submitted to. And then that next week, I went, usually you go have breakfast with those that you've been having breakfast with. And the first person I had that doesn't work with me but has been around me asked me, something's different about you. What'd you do this weekend? Guess what? I had power to be a witness now. I had an experience. I had something to say. My language changed. I used to cuss. It just went. I was like, I stood back and said, praise God. It was taken from me. The desire to drink was completely gone. I mean, I drank probably, I hit the Jack Daniels and the Jim Beam on the weekends. I wasn't a heavy drinker, but I had no desire for that because I wanted to get drunk now. I wanted to get drunk with the Holy Ghost. I wanted that experience again. I wanted to be filled again and have that power overcome me to be a witness. And that's what I sought after. And I got drunk some more. I got filled some more. And that's okay because I didn't have a hangover the next day. Amen? God, new wine. It won't make you have a hangover, but you'll be a witness. He's still doing the same thing in his church today. And when you have an experience with God, with the anointing, nothing else will ever compare to that. And that's how you'll know. God is here to fulfill and to manifest. The Holy Spirit is here to manifest the works of Jesus and to glorify Jesus. He's here to confirm the Word. Everything I'm preaching, everything Pastor preaches, everything we teach you here, the Holy Spirit is here to confirm it. But I can't, it's like Pastor said, how do I get this into people? Can I take their head off and just pour it into them? No, we can't take your head off and pour it into you. But all you have to do is like the disciples and like I did, just be hungry. And when He says, peace, just receive it. He says, they received, He breathed. Let Jesus breathe on you. The words I'm saying, the words I'm speaking, the words we teach and minister here is God-inspired. It's God-breathed. All you have to do is receive it. And He will fulfill. He will manifest Jesus, the works of Jesus in your life. Deliverance, healings, family members coming together, whatever you need. God has already met. Jesus has met that need. God has met that need. Last point. You get born again. I got born again, but there was more. You receive power from on high, and then the church is established. Acts 2. We're in Acts 1. Acts 2. Jesus told them, tarry here in Jerusalem. Guess what? The tarrying days are over because the gift, the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit was going to come. It hadn't come yet. Remember, they were born again, but He didn't have the ability to come upon them and over for them to be anointed yet. They had the ability to be born again. But there was another promise coming. Jesus had to leave, and He said, I'm not going to leave you here helpless. That means we have to have power. We have to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. People had to get saved. They had to have people to preach. How are we going to hear unless somebody preach? Well, they can't just preach, I'm here to save you. They got to preach, Jesus has already saved you. They got to have that power to be a witness. In Acts 2, when Jesus said, wait, guess what? The waiting, when if He says wait, there's a waiting time coming. When it comes, it's going to be there. There was a certain time. It says, when the day of Pentecost, help me, John, 50 days after His resurrection, right? Pentecost, 50 days after we think 5 minutes is a long time to wait. They waited 50 days in one accord, believing and trusting what Jesus said He was going to do. Okay? So don't think if you hadn't received something for God, and it's been maybe 5 weeks, that He's forgotten you. We need to stay hungry and thirsty for Him. Amen? He's got to work some things out. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Ruthie, what's that accord? They were sounding good. We waiting here for Jesus. They were singing the same song. They were just waiting. He told them to wait. They were singing songs about waiting. They were writing songs about waiting because they were waiting. That's all they knew to do was just wait because He said tarry. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, you ready for a suddenly? They still happen because the Holy Spirit is, if you were here Wednesday we talked, He's hovering. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you to speak the Word of God. Suddenly, I need healing. Healing is a children's bread. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes in, brings you healing because you speak God's Word, you believe it. He's there. He's moving in. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven now, because it's a promise of the Father. From heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. In other words, this could be seen. This was a manifestation of the glory of God coming in the house, filling the house. If God wants to come in and bring a cloud, Holy Spirit, bring your cloud. We're not looking for clouds, but guess what? If it's His cloud, we'll sit on it, right? We'll let Him sit on us. Fill this house. Hallelujah. And we won't be burned. We'll be like the three Hebrew children in the fire. Because His fire won't burn us. It'll consume us. It'll consume the shaft, things in our life that are not there to be a witness. Lord, consume us with Your fire. Fill this house. It filled the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set upon each one of them. Set on them. And they were all those that wait upon the Lord, they were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, just a little quick message on tongues. The Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues. You speak, I speak in tongues. He gives me the inspiration, the utterance. And you got to do it by faith. It's all done by faith. And when He comes, I give Him the free will in my life to work and to move and to speak. He doesn't overpower me. He doesn't manipulate me or move upon me to do this. I submit to Him, and I'm filled, and I speak, and it brings praises unto God. I speak mysteries unto God. I can pray with my understanding. All the gifts of the Spirit, they work by love and obedience and submission to Him. Amen? And they are good. They're not weird. They're good because they're from God. And they have a purpose. It's not to give me goosebumps. It's not to make me dance, but that's okay. If you have to dance a little jig, do a little jig. But it's for a purpose. It's to reveal what Jesus needs you to know that day, that time. Amen? Amen. And hey, and I'm going to tell you, I'm learning. And I'll be learning until Jesus comes and glorifies my body. But I can only share with you the experiences I have. But do not let that limit you with God. Because each of us can have different experiences with Him. And He's only going to move with us the way we move with Him. So don't let just what I say, don't let it set a stage of how this is how I've got to do it. No, you've got to get with God. Now I'm talking about, we speak in tongues, but there's experiences that only you can have with God that I can't lead you into. But they'll have a purpose. It'll change your life. And it'll bring fruit in your life, and it'll change others. It'll bring others into your life. And you'll have God encounters. Amen? That was when the church is established. This is what Jesus meant when He told Peter in Matthew 16:18. And I say unto you, remember when Peter said? Christ asked him who he was. Who do you say that I am? Be like saying to Miss Jean, Miss Jean, who do you say that I am? Jesus is right here. Some people had different opinions. But Peter. Peter, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus knew that was God speaking. Because he knew God. And he knew the disciples were with him, but he knew they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, not your mind, but my Father. And Jesus was so happy. And he said, and on this, Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Going to build that church on that revelation of hearing the Holy Spirit from God. Reveal who God is. And that's our purpose, to be a witness of who God is in my life. Not who I think God is, who Jesus revealed to me who God is. That's our example. Not my tradition. A lot of things we got to let the Holy Spirit burn that out of us, amen, and put the right thing in us. I didn't have a lot of stuff in me that God had to really get a lot of stuff out, but He put the right stuff in. Remember the movie The Right Stuff? Ever heard that movie The Right Stuff? Well, when you receive Jesus and you receive His gift of the Holy Spirit, let Him baptize you, you can have the right stuff. Amen. For the right job to accomplish what God has for you here on the earth. Mm-mm-mm. That's what Jesus meant when He told Peter, and He said to him, Thou art Peter, the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, it will prevail against those that are not walking in it. They might be struggling. Why is God doing this to me? Well, there's the wrong revelation right there. God's not doing it to you. You need to be doing it to the kingdom of darkness. We need to be mad at the devil and the things he does. But if we think God's doing it, guess what? You can't get mad at God. See, that's a misunderstanding. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. That's who we are here. Amen? That doesn't mean that sometimes the devil gets a foothold, but you know what? We got a bigger foot. You got more people here. Get with you. We can help you out. We can pray. And then we'll put the foot on the devil's neck where it belongs, under our feet of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stop right there. God wants you to be all He's called you to be. Receive and walk and live in His anointing. Amen?